Wisconsin Eye is on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-River Falls. We're interviewing Chancellor Dean Van Gallen. Chancellor, thanks for meeting with Wisconsin Eye.
My pleasure, Steve. Great to be with you.
26 campuses in the UW system. What's unique and special about UW-River Falls, sir?
Yeah, I think it is a unique and distinctive place. Certainly strong academics, which isn't unique to River Falls, but we're really focused on developing some new distinctive academic programs. Our largest majors now are animal science. We have, in fact, the second largest dairy science program in the country, behind Cornell University. Biology, business administration, elementary education. But in the last several years, we've developed new programs, including agricultural engineering, data science, which is a pretty unique undergraduate program in very high demand, and also we're starting a neuroscience program. So we've taken some steps to be more distinctive, to better define our niche in the UW system. I think the other thing about River Falls, which is unique, is our location, and some of your viewers may not know that River Falls is about 8 miles from the St. Croix River in the Minnesota border in far western Wisconsin, but we're about 30 minutes from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, 3.2 million people, 16 Fortune 500 companies. So River Falls is a small town, a great place to live and go to school, but we have a lot of the advantages of being near that metropolitan area.
To get ready for this interview, I of course went to the campus website.
Yes.
I was intrigued. You have a Twin Cities landscape on your website saying UW-River Falls is 30 minutes from the Twin Cities.
Yes.
I find it intriguing that a Wisconsin public university would have the Twin Cities landscape. Help me understand that, sir.
Yeah, you know, it is a unique institution within the UW. Almost half of our students are from Minnesota.
So are they really?
We have reciprocity, of course,
yes,
which provides great options both for Wisconsin and Minnesota students. But with that comes a lot of opportunities, and that's why, you know, I talk about our campus as being a very safe, inviting, welcoming place. River Falls itself is 15,000 people, but we are influenced in some really positive ways by the Twin Cities. You know, as an example, this part of the state, St. Croix County, is the fastest growing county as a percentage in the state of Wisconsin. And so I always like to make the case to folks in Madison, you want a growing dynamic university here, because a big part of Wisconsin's future is on this western border. So it is a unique and exciting place to be.
Well, as you know, I started my academic career here for 2 years.
Yes.
And the nickname for this institution where I spent 2 years, is it still valid? Moo U.
Well, we don't call ourselves that, but
I understand.
We certainly don't run away from our strength in agriculture.
Okay.
You know, as I mentioned, largest major animal science. We have two laboratory farms, and students come from across Wisconsin and the Midwest for those programs. You know, that said, we're much, much more than that. And I think some of the things that make us special, we're really focusing a lot on undergraduate research, engaging students with faculty on research projects that they then present around the country and around the world, and a lot of focus on international education. This week, we welcomed 139 international students back to our campus. We think there's great value in those students interacting with maybe a young man or woman from small town Wisconsin who comes from a dairy farm. And building those types of cultural skills in our students is something we value very much.
Well, the website says that 47% of your undergrads come from Wisconsin. Does that mean that you have actually more undergrads coming from Minnesota since you're so close to it?
It's very close.
Really?
Year to year,
that's very unique.
Pretty balanced. And then, of course, we attract students from other places in the Midwest. Last year, I met a young lady moving into the residence hall who came from Las Vegas, Nevada. I said, "How did you find River Falls?" She was interested in the equine program,
yes.
Went on the website, found us, visited, loved us, and came to River Falls. So,
It's also intriguing to me, the average age of your undergrads, now this information may be a year old, is 22. You have older undergrads than some other UW systems. So talk to me about the profile of your undergrads, especially why are they a little bit older, sir?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And a lot of that has to do with something that we started about 6 years ago in Hudson. So Hudson is right on the border.
You call it a learning center.
Yes, the Hudson Learning Center. It's about 10 miles from River Falls, but it's right on I-94, which is one of the busiest interstates in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We started a learning center to serve adult learners, and we have a adult degree completion program for people who maybe went to college many years ago. The average age is in the 40s of those students.
Really?
They come back and with really wonderful advising, they complete their baccalaureate degree. So we've graduated 58 individuals through that program who probably would not hold a college degree without the convenience of the program and the way that we advise and mentor those students. Some of those individuals went to college at four different institutions 10, 20, 30 years ago, but they want to complete that baccalaureate degree. So it's a way to welcome them back, to give them a convenient and supportive professional space. So we're really proud of that program. These are students who would not traditionally come to the campus in River Falls. It's worked out very well, and I think as we think about higher education in Wisconsin, we often think of 18-year-olds, but we
Yes.
have to address the educational needs of adult learners later in life as well.
One other stat on your students just intrigues me. 60% of your undergraduates are women.
Yes.
That must be one of the highest, if not highest, in the UW system. Put that in context for me, please.
You know, it is on the high side, but it's interesting. If you look at higher education in the United States, women attend college at a higher rate, they're retained at a higher rate, they graduate at a higher rate. So it's not all that unique. I think the fact that we're at a little over 60% might speak to some of the academic programs we offer. Even in agriculture, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that was predominantly men in those programs. Now, especially in areas like equine, we have a high percentage of women interested in those programs. So we have a high number of female undergraduate students, but it's really part of a broader national trend.
Well, this is the last reference to when I went here, but so here's my follow-up question. Many students commuted from home then. Is that still true on campus, Chancellor?
We have about 40% of our students who live in our residence halls,
okay.
and probably another 20 or 30% that live in the River Falls community. So within the UW system, we actually have one of the higher percentages of student bodies who live on campus. So it's really not a commuter institution, and we think there's great value of students living and learning on campus, becoming engaged.
Now, you're in the middle of a building program. You're going to open a new facility
Yes.
over by the football fields.
Yes.
That's going to, what's the purpose of that new building?
Yeah, that facility, it's called the Falcon Center, and it does a number of things. It provides classrooms, faculty offices, learning spaces for health and human performance. It also will provide a fitness and wellness center for our students and community, and it'll support athletics. So we'll have a new competition volleyball and basketball arena. Our facilities, the Cargis Center, which we're around.
I remember the Cargis Center.
When you were here.
Yes.
We like to say
that. I had to pass a swimming test in the Cargis Center,
yes.
but that pool's been closed.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Too many anecdotes.
Exactly. You know, we talk about the Cargis gym now as a pretty good junior high middle school gym at this point. It was built at a time where we had 1,500 students, and we're grateful for, you know, the support of the state. We've had some charitable gifts that have gone to that project, and that will open fall of 2017. Really excited about it to support learning, fitness, and some of our athletic programs.
Now let's talk about the funding debate in terms of the state budget. Impact on the River Falls campus of the $250 million two-year cut to the system. What
yeah.
percentage of the budget did the River Falls budget did you lose as a result of that, sir?
Well, we lost in base funding, which is kind of the ongoing funding, about $2.87 million. So for us, depending how you counted it, it would be about 11 or 12% of our operational funding.
11 or 12%?
Yes.
A big hit.
Yeah.
It
was a very significant reduction through that process, which has been really difficult. We laid off 18 people. We lost 55 FTE, basically full-time equivalent positions on campus. So I think, as is the case with all the UWs, it's had a really difficult impact, and we worry about the morale of our faculty and staff, but how we're able to serve students in terms of class sizes ensuring they have the courses they need to graduate on time. So that's something we're talking to our legislators and others about, the critical need for investment in higher education in this state. There's also been a tuition freeze now for a number of years.
I want to ask you about that.
Yeah, and
the governor said it might be a good idea to continue that for a fifth year, the impact on this campus, sir?
Yeah, he has said that, and I think the key part of this is there are only two ways to fund significantly the educational part of what we do at a university, the teaching and learning. Mm-hmm. It's state support, which is now about 30 or 31% of that part of the budget, and tuition revenue, which is about 69%. So a tuition freeze, in my view, is fine, but it only if there's state investment, significant state investment, to help us ensure we're providing quality and what the state wants us to accomplish. So, the tuition freeze question in a vacuum is a difficult one to address. It depends on the level of state support. And so I am concerned about ongoing tuition freezes in an environment of declining state support. That's really problematic.
Well, you mentioned two sources of revenue, state aid and then the tuition.
Yes.
Are you in the process of asking alumni and local community partners to provide more of the operating budget for this university just because of the drop in state aid?
Over the last about 5 years, we've conducted our first comprehensive fundraising campaign in our history. And I think if you roll back the clock, many of these UW comprehensives 10, 20, 30 years ago, fundraising was not a significant part of what they did. That's changed. And so we've just completed our first campaign. We've raised $20 million in gifts and pledges, thanks to the generosity of our alumni and friends. About $9 million of that is for student scholarships. So I think in terms of private charitable giving, that's where alumni and friends often can have the biggest impact. Scholarships for students to help with affordability, to attract students to our campus and help those students succeed.
Well, follow up on that. Your website talks about the scholarship guarantee. Can you explain that?
Yes. This is something we began last year for incoming students for this fall, and we're going to continue for next year. So we have address the issue of affordability in a pretty direct way. So we're offering, we call a scholarship guarantee, two different levels. The first is for students who have a 22 to 24 ACT in the top 40% of their class, a $1,000 scholarship award to come to River Falls. And then the second level is for students of a 25 or higher ACT, top 25% of their class. Those scholarships are $2,000 a year for the first and second years. So this is really an investment in students, in a way, engaging students to come to River Falls, come to our campus, and see what's here. And it's gone really well. We're welcoming our largest new freshman class in 5 years this year. We'll be at about 1,238 students. And the academic background, the profile of those students is also very strong. So it's a great place to get an education.
As you specialize, as this campus specializes more in ag and biological sciences, you've obviously some programs have had to drop by the wayside. Is it fair to say I could no longer major in journalism here, correct? I couldn't get a degree in journalism? And what about French and German? Have they also had been dropped?
So some of these programs, and I'll use French and German, which is under the modern languages umbrella, we no longer offer those academic programs. So what we're doing is looking at things like enrollment. It is a very difficult time, and as we build new programs and have limited resources, we have to look at what we're offering. One of the things we're doing this year is there's a group of university leaders, including faculty, engaged in this very question. We're calling it a Strategic Choices Task Force. And they're asking the questions, given the resources we have, what can we afford to offer and what can't we anymore? So they're going through an analysis and coming up with some recommendations. I think that's true across the UW. It's true in higher education. We say we can't be all things to all people. So we want to do some things extraordinarily well. And that means we have to very thoughtfully stop doing some things.
You and I have seen the stats for the UW system on the number of faculty who could either retire now or could retire within 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. So as you plan, here's my question. As you replace faculty members, do you have to hire adjuncts or can you hire tenure track?
We can hire tenure track faculty. The challenge has been with the state budget cuts, the number of faculty we have on staff here, meaning tenure track, full-time faculty, has declined. And I think that's a concern really everywhere in higher education because the faculty are the ones who are here for the long haul. They're very committed. They work hard. In some cases, they achieve tenure. Mm-hmm. They are, in many ways, the heart and soul of the institution that spans for decades. So we are continuing to hire some tenure track faculty, and that's critical. But that said, like many institutions, over time we have been hiring more adjunct faculty, and many of them are outstanding teachers, but it is a concern that we are able to maintain that core group of faculty over time.
As word got out nationally that the UW system was taking a $250 million two-year hit, did you lose some of your best faculty? Were they raided by other universities?
We did lose some faculty. In other cases, they were made offers that we countered, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. And also we're losing a significant number of really talented staff. One of the interesting aspects of our location, being so close to the Twin City, is mm-hmm. there are opportunities across the river. So that is a concern, you know, the ability to attract and retain great people, because I think all universities at their hearts are people, and the quality of education we offer here I think is very high, but in the end it depends on the people doing that important work.
Okay, we talked about the impact of the $250 million cut. Let's go the other way now. The Regents just approved seeking $42.5 million in general fund dollars over the next biennium.
Yes.
And the system doesn't have to lapse. So is there any good news coming in terms of courses and other services on this campus from this addition, or would you like to see more than 42.5?
Well, of course, I guess it's easy to say we'd always like to see more, but I think this request from the system is very reasonable, and some of the feedback we've been hearing from legislators and others, you know, they're going, that's a reasonable request. We understand what has happened the last biennium to the system budget, so I sense there's some openness to that. It's really critical, two pieces. One is the $42.5 million, but also the lapse, which yes. would restore or continue really the $50 million that was not cut from the base budget the last 2 years. So I think with those resources and depending on what happens with tuition, it will be helpful. And I think a lot of it is we want to make sure we're providing quality education. That's what we do. You know, we're primarily a teaching and learning institution. We need the people, the talent there to help our students succeed. We need to provide the courses, the mentoring, the experience here to help them graduate and graduate on time. I was just looking at some data, and you know, I've been talking a lot out in public about the value of public education. And you ask people, why do you get a college degree? Why should anyone go to college?
Yes.
You usually hear two things. One is to get a job, to earn money, to have a career. And the other is, you know, it changes you as a person. It creates educated citizens, good decision makers. I think it's both. And the data show clearly that on the career side, unemployment rates go down significantly the more education you have. Last year, for those who held a baccalaureate degree in the United States, unemployment was 2.8%. If you held a high school diploma or less, you're up to 5 to 8% unemployment. Lifetime earnings on average are about $1 million more for those with a baccalaureate degree compared to a high school diploma. So that's kind of the pragmatic side. And you know, you hear college graduates, well, they can't get jobs, they live in their mother and father's basement. That does not represent the norm or the average over a lifetime. And then the other side of it, you know, education, I think, is much more than getting that first job. It is about learning, and it's about learning to think critically, communicate, work with others different from yourselves. And these are the skills when you hear CEOs talk about what they need. Those types of skills are what they're asking for. It's not just we want to hire someone for the first job that can do accounting or engineering. Mm-hmm. It's we want people who can think and grow in our organization and become leaders over time. And that's what we try to do.
A big part of the national and state debate over higher education involves student loans, student debt.
Yes.
Do River Falls graduates have more or less student debt on average than comparable statewide or national, sir?
Yeah, so we're just below the national average. For us, about two-thirds of our graduates have some debt, about a third do not. The average debt of our students who have debt is between $27,000 and $28,000 a year. On one hand, that is significant, and I think concerns over student debt are very real and things we should be thinking about. On the other hand, I think if you look at things like lifetime earnings, if you go to college, complete a degree, it's a great investment. And the other point I would make is, you know, when you the other day I was in a group and I asked people, what do you think the average debt is of a River Falls graduate? And, you know, they threw out a lot of numbers, $55,000, $80,000. I think it's one of the myths that is out there. There are students in this country, particularly that attend private schools, and maybe they make some decisions that have $80,000 or $100,000 of debt. That's not the norm. And many of our students work during college to try to minimize that debt. But student debt is something we all need to be conscious of.
As I talk to chancellors and other leaders in Wisconsin higher education, there appears to be a new synergy emerging with our tech colleges. Has that happened on this campus, sir?
Yeah, it has. We work very closely with Chippewa Valley and Wisconsin Indian Head Technical Colleges, which are the colleges in our region. A lot of times that involves articulation agreements for specific programs, so that if a student enters a technical college in an area such as business, that those students know that if they take these series of courses, that those credits will transfer to UW-River Falls. And I think that's good and important to inform students when they make those choices, what does that future look like? So we do work really well, I think, with the technical colleges and our K-12 partners in the region as well.
When you talk to high school seniors in Wisconsin, you're selling River Falls. What's your elevator speech, why they should, and their parents, come to River Falls?
Well, I think it is a wonderful place to learn and grow, and our faculty and staff are committed to those students, to mentoring those students, great academics, and I go back to something I said earlier, opportunities for undergraduate research, education abroad, having those experiences and internships. Those are called high-impact practices, and we really focus on those and want our students to succeed. It's a great place.
The other side of it, what are your concerns looking out 5 or 10 years? What are the issues that may wake you up occasionally at night worrying about for this campus?
Well, you know, budget is always an easy one, but it is important. But I would frame budget in terms of the broader question of public perception and public value of higher education. Mm-hmm. That's the one that long-term in this state and nationally I worry about. I grew up in Wisconsin. Neither of my parents finished high school. So I'm a first-generation college student. But they understood the value of education and going to college. That value is still there. And what keeps me up at night is I think people maybe not understanding that as much as they used to. Education has always been a core value of Wisconsin. I think for many citizens in this state, it still is, but I do worry about some of the negative rhetoric around public education in this state. In the long run, that's going to influence the quality of education and economic development and the future of this state for many years, and that's critical.
Let's come back to the additional $42.5 million that the regents have asked for and not having to lapse the money. What do those two changes, if they become law, mean for this campus? Will you be able to stop cutting programs? Will you be able to hire back faculty? The impact on this campus?
Yeah, I think on the people side, faculty and staff, ensuring we offer the courses that students need. Class size is something we try to keep smaller because this is an intimate campus and students come here for those experiences. So the people side is very important. And the reason that's important is that plays into retention rates. Mm-hmm. It plays into time to degree. You know, if a student can finish a college degree here in 8 semesters instead of 9, or, you know, 9 instead of 10, that's a huge difference for them economically and in terms of student debt. So really, a lot of that would be invested in the people, the faculty and staff, the work we do. Compensation, another topic that is a major concern throughout the UW system. For comprehensive campuses such as River Falls, our faculty are about 20% behind nationally their peers in compensation. And you know, that is a concern. And what can we do to start working on that gap?
Well, when I asked you about your concerns, it seems to me you're alluding to this national debate over whether someone graduating from high school should go to a public university or a college, or whether they might start out at like a tech school.
Right.
Right?
So that's part of it.
And you're four square behind the career upside of going to a comprehensive four-year institution like River Falls outweighs the immediate cost concerns. Tuition is lower at a tech college is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and I would not, I think an option of going to a technical college in many states, a community college, UW college, those are good viable options for some students. So I would not disparage that. Mm-hmm. My broader point is to obtain post-secondary education, a college degree is a great investment and an important decision. There are many paths to do that. You know, we provide a great experience for freshmen on our campus. You live on campus often, you're engaged. Students who live on campus are more likely to succeed and graduate. That's all true. But I think in the broader picture, people pursuing post-secondary education, no matter what that looks like, and a path towards a college degree, it's critical.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for not looking at my grade transcript while I was on this campus.
Yes,
no,
we'll
don't have it,
that
and
later.
That's good.
Yes.
But here's a question.
Yes.
When I was a freshman here, I had to wear a beanie, and I had to go around saying, "Blitz the Blue Golds," because that was our homecoming opponent. Do freshmen still have to wear beanies, Chancellor?
Beanies are out. I've seen the photographs. Maybe you were in that photo. I'm not sure.
I hope not. But anyway, future of this campus, you're pretty optimistic?
I am. I think this campus has a very bright future because of the people and what we're doing. I'm an optimist. So,
UW Chancellor Dean Van Galen, thank you so much for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for your hospitality, allowing us to interview candidates here.
Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah.